Let's raid a party? Oh, what? Weird holes. All right, here we go. No, that's not it. Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Seattle Restaurant Podcast. I'm not going to lie. I worked 17 hours yesterday, so I'm barely surviving. But here we are with my best friend in the world, Dave Storm. David Van Storm, how are we doing today?
I'm doing good, man.
How was your week?
It was good. I'm glad January's behind me. And the first week of February was pretty good. The sun was out, business was popping, people were running around and eating food.
I gotta say, every single restaurant tour I know was kind of complaining about January. Just a really, really rough January. I've talked to a lot of people, but I've also talked to a lot of people how February's turning around.
We've only experienced one week. Jump the gun.
I don't know. I'm going to stay positive because, like,
I'm trying.
It's like yesterday at the Fremont Market, the last couple weeks I've been throwing away, you know, just a little bit of food. So, like, yesterday was the first day I scaled it back just like maybe 1/5 of what I usually do. And, like, the sun was out and I fucking sold out at 2 p.m. and I was just heartbroken because, like, if I just brought that extra, it would have been an extra, like, $5.
Same. I ordered meat a couple times a week, and first week after January, you know, I'm not doing like full throttle or anything, but so many people came through Buckshot this weekend. I started running out of everything.
That's the point. Real quick before we introduce our guests, the reason I had a 17-hour day yesterday is we did our taco party yesterday, me and Luis.
Yeah, how was that, man?
I'm gonna try not to cry. Like every time these events, like, I have so much self-doubt because, like, there's no tickets. Like,
you are your own worst enemy.
I am. You love that song. You love bringing that one up. And fucking, it was just such a. It was kind of like the live podcast where, like, it was just a lot. Oh, by the way, happy birthday, Noah Larson.
Happy birthday, Noah,
friend of the podcast. But just to look around and just seeing, like, all these people from different walks of life, like people from the Fremont Market, a lot of the Shoo We Doo people came out, the Last Call people. It was fucking beautiful. Luis is such a goddamn workhorse. Like, I remember when we were promoting the Wu-Tang dinner, I always said, like, I think Luis and Bardojo's, like, it's just a perfect restaurant. Because, like, have you been there, right?
No.
Oh, you're an idiot.
It's kind of hard for me to get to Edmonds.
Sure, I understand. I was. It's a perfect restaurant. You're never going to see any kind of, you know, change up or, like, everything always looks the same and tastes the same and it's always perfect. And he does the same thing when he makes tacos. And, like, it's just him and Ariana helped in the kitchen a little bit too.
Oh, nice.
But he fucking cranked it out and just watching him work. I just worked the window and took orders and he rocked it. But it was amazing.
Equally as fun to talk food too.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
also to work side by side. He's a great guy.
100% right afterwards, the bar was super happy with us because we brought a bunch of customers in and they're like, what do you want to do next? And I'm like, how about a burrito bash? We're gonna come up with something. Thanks for everyone coming up. All right. We got some fun guests today that I want to introduce. Dave, you ready?
I am.
So you're going to be the second time, Max. Max from Pokedim Max. How are we doing today, brother?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
So you were, you know, I say I have this rule where I don't like to have people twice on the podcast.
It's a stupid rule.
Well, it prevents me from being lazy because, like, it would be Stephen Ono and
Schubert.
But I
think it's okay.
Week. Well, it's something I do to challenge myself, just like how I'm challenging myself to have Dave Matthews on the podcast one day. But you were on one of the episodes of Short Eats when I was figuring out what the fuck I was doing with the podcast, and I appreciate that. Real quick, what all do you own? Because I feel like the list keeps on getting longer.
Yeah. So myself and Chef Sam Choi own Sam Choi's Poke to the Max, and we have 5 of those locations locally. And we recently opened a neighborhood cafe in this cool area. It's a place that serves bubble tea, like signature coffees that kind of lean more in the Filipino realm, I guess. And we do a full brunch menu there as well. That's also, it's fusion, but it leans more Filipino, I'd say.
Cool.
And then my family owns and operates the Stonehouse Cafe.
Yep,
so I'm in the industry.
You are. And then over here, what's up?
In it thick.
In it thick. And over here on my left, Oliver from the famous Normals in Pioneer Square. How are we doing, Oliver?
Hey, not bad. Thanks for inviting me here.
Yeah, I'm very excited to have you here because you have some really fun stuff to talk about. Very, very interesting stuff, and we're going to get into it. We got connected because you just did a Tasting Collective dinner with my good friend Heather Dalton. How'd that go for you?
That went great. We loved the, you know, it's always nice to bring in new customers, and these were mostly people who had never been to Nirmal's.
Yeah.
So it's always nice to do
just that. Just because I want to give my friend Heather a plug, can you explain how it worked, the Tasting Collective, in just like a minute or two?
Well, they reached out to us. They wanted to do a sit-down dinner. It was two rounds of two seatings, 5 o'clock and 8 o'clock. Perfect. We had about 100 people, sitters, you know,
right,
of 50 each.
So cool, yeah. So basically what the Tasting Collective does is, you know, they kind of come in and do a, you know, like a pop-up dinner. Did you do kind of a different menu than you usually do?
Yeah,
we did,
and we had the chef come by and explain each dish,
cool,
the history of it, you know, how we prepare, what are the what's the focus of it, which region it comes from.
A little history.
Yeah, because India is such a you know, diverse country that, you know, and it's such a long history, 8,000 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the food is very diverse. Yeah. And, you know, we were 600 kingdoms.
Yeah.
And so,
actually, I'm going to have you scoot up just a little bit closer to the mic, as close as you can get to the mic.
So,
you're saying important stuff, and I don't want to miss it.
Yeah, you know, it's 600 kingdoms, and each palace developed their own style. And so when we do this, it's always fun because, and then there were so many invasions that came into India, you know, from the Persians, the Arabs, the Mughals. Then we started with the Western countries, you know, the Portuguese and the British and the French and the Dutch, Spain.
I saw a painting the other day with Napoleon.
Yeah, and, you know, so for us, it's just fascinating, you know, when. And that's one of the reasons, you know, we love doing these kinds of events because it kind of gives us a chance to kind of really bring out
the meaning behind the dishes and everything.
Yeah, little history lesson, the story behind it all.
And I kind of want to just jump into this. You know, you're coming on here to promote something you're working on.
Yeah, because just like I was saying, you know, it's the history, right? And as I'm looking at what we're, you know, these kinds of events, I started doing some research, and I, you know, one thing that was fascinating for me was, before the Portuguese came to India, we did not have chilies in India.
Oh, really?
I mean, imagine Indian food without chilies.
Yeah.
No potatoes, no tomatoes, no cauliflower, no cabbage, no carrots, no peas, no cashews, no peanuts.
Literally, like...
I mean, yeah. I mean, you think about it. Think about Indian food without these things.
Yeah.
And so as we started digging up, and, you know, it just was so fascinating. So we said, why don't we recreate 1,000-year-old recipes?
Yeah.
Like, and before that?
Before all that
stuff
came in.
1,000 AD, before the British or anybody came in.
So, you know? Like, what are examples of some of these dishes?
So, you know, eggplant was common in India. We did that. Pumpkin was there.
Yep.
But to cook without chili is just such a challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
Cook without tomatoes. I mean, you know, it's pretty much our base.
Yeah.
Tomato, you know, any sauce you see, tomatoes are part of it. We you know, cashew, you know, any Mughlai food, the Mughal food, the base is cashew nuts. And we didn't have cashews.
Yeah.
And so we had to really go back. You know, and the challenge always was, it's these recipes were not written as recipes.
Yeah.
They aren't written in English. You know, they were in Sanskrit, a language that I don't speak or read, you know. Yeah. And so I had to work with three historians.
And I'm sorry, where are you finding these? The recipes?
There are old books. Okay. I mean, India is such a, you know, old culture.
Did I pass down through families?
No, the Vedas.
Okay.
You know, the Ayurveda, like, you know, like you have Ayurvedic this, right? So the textbooks that were written, you know, 2,000 years ago, there's a book called Charaka Samhita. It has six chapters of recipes.
Wow.
And what I found fascinating was 1,200 years ago, they were looking at food as medicine.
Right. Yeah.
They were thinking, you know, what you eat is what you are.
Yeah.
You know, and this is 1,200 years ago, when they were writing recipes, they were talking about what each ingredient is doing to you. You eat cumin because of this. You eat turmeric because of this.
Yeah, yeah.
It is just fascinating to go. And this is...
Like, what are some examples? Like, what does cumin do for you?
Cumin is supposed to be very good for digestion.
Okay.
And what they call it, it's cooling.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like my parents have said that. Like,
it's very cooling.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you eat meat and it's heat.
Yeah.
You know, and so it just was for me watching that, reading that,
was
fascinating because there's
a different
much
kind of
to
thinking,
learn.
Yeah,
yeah, and I just thought it would be fun.
Yeah,
to do
challenge yourself.
So 18th of March, we are going to do this dinner.
Yep.
We're going to do about 8 dishes.
Okay.
And the chef is going to explain the history, you know, the logic behind the dish. Because there's a logic behind every dish.
Yeah.
You know, and to think about it, it's not just creativity. It is, you know, somebody has sat and thought through why you should eat this.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
You know. And so I thought we should try that. Because what we do in Nirmal's is every 2 months, we highlight a different state.
Okay.
So we did Rajasthan. Right now we are doing Punjab. March, April, we are going to do Ramadan food.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then we are going to do Kerala. So every 2 months we do a different state because the food is so different.
That must be extremely challenging.
It is challenging, but it's fun.
Yeah, totally.
Keep it is fun.
Do you have a lot of customers that come back and be like, hey, I came here 4 months ago. Like, do you not have this?
They call us and say, because we've been around 8 years now, 2015.
Yeah.
So now it's become part of who we are.
Yeah.
So we get people calls get saying, hey, what's this month?
Yeah.
And because India did not have the transportation, even today, we don't have the ability to transport goods long distance.
Yeah.
So food, you know, it's just local.
Yeah.
You know. It's fashionable to say that in America.
In America, but like, it's a necessity. It's,
You know, if I grow pepper here, I'm going to use pepper here.
Yeah.
If I grow coconut here, I'm going to use coconut here. So if you think about it, in North India, they eat naan.
Mm-hmm.
In South India, they eat rice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just what's local.
It's what it is. And so I just find it fascinating. So I always try to do the contrast.
Yeah.
Like I'll do a coastal region with very fish based, and then I'll do, you know, Kashmir, which is very cold and hilly, and it's a completely different cuisine.
I feel like I'm not doing enough work in my life. This sounds so hard. Like, I feel like, oh, I just had this can of tomatoes, so I'm going to use it today. But like, how'd you get into the restaurant industry?
Yeah, that wasn't the smartest move.
No shit. Yeah, I could have told you that.
And it was sad. It's a sad story. Because I was in commodities.
Okay.
I was, into exporting iron ore from India to China.
Mm-hmm.
And I got tired of the traveling.
Yeah.
And this is where the real stupidity comes in.
How long ago was this?
This was about 10 years ago.
Yeah, got it.
And then I thought I needed to do something where I could go home at night.
Yeah.
Something, you know, quieter.
Do you have family?
Yes, my wife.
Yeah.
I just thought it would be something that, you know, I could start something and I would, you know, I could go home at night. Because when you're on the road 8 months of the year.
Let's open a restaurant.
I know.
That's 5 o'clock every day.
Yeah, that's where the insanity comes in, right? Because you think, oh. And then, of course, I go ahead and open a second one in Bellevue.
Yeah.
And now.
How long ago did that happen?
A year. Because we signed the lease in 2019 and then 2020.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So we opened it in 2022. It's been a year, and now I'm opening 2 more.
No shit.
That's where the insanity really comes through.
I mean, I look at him,
and I'm like, okay, there are really crazy people in this room.
Yeah. So, do you have any restaurant experience before this?
No.
And you woke up one day, you're like, I want to start a restaurant. How do you find people? How did you source?
No, but if you think about it, every one of us has an opinion about what restaurant they like.
Yeah, sure.
If you really sit down and you think about it, that you know there are certain restaurants you love and you want to keep going back.
Yep.
And there are certain restaurants you'll never go back.
Yeah.
And it's not hard to figure it out. It's really, I mean, I always tell people, it's not really hard to figure out what works.
Yeah.
Because every one of us has
what you like, what you don't like.
Exactly. Yeah. Because it's putting it into practice that's the difficulty, because it means a lot of hard work. We all know that, right? It's funny because people, whenever somebody comes to me saying, I want to open a restaurant, the first thing I tell them is, kiss your weekends goodbye.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah.
You know, you have no weekends, okay? And for the first 2 years, 16 to 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, and then if you still survive after that, then you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
But there is no guarantee you're going to survive.
Max, do you feel the same way?
Oh, 100%.
Because you've been, you know, in the restaurant industry your whole life. When what was the first thing you opened?
So my family opened a sandwich shop like 20 years ago. And my mom was managing several like fast food chains as I was a kid. So I grew up working all kinds of food places. And then, in 10 years ago, I decided to jump into the food truck thing, and I was Yeah.
Chaos.
Yeah.
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 Real quick, how many trucks do you have? Just
You know, pre-pandemic, we were going really hard.
Yeah.
We had four food trucks.
That's right.
We scaled back. We sold a few through the pandemic, and I have two at the moment.
Yeah.
One that operates pretty much daily.
Yeah.
But it's that one's been a little bit challenging to kind of get back to normal, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
but the restaurants are doing better or fine. Yeah.
The restaurant. I mean, just like anyone else, we have our challenges. You know, this past weekend, last weekend, our pipes exploded.
Yeah.
And then we did a quick patch, and this past weekend, the quick patch broke.
Yep.
And I walk into a flood.
Back
in the restaurant.
Man,
so,
Dave, what's the number one rule about street food?
This is a trick question.
Yes, it is. I just want to see what you would say.
Don't do it.
Bring a six pack.
Yeah, right.
But you know, you're supposed to drain your water. And when it gets
when it freezes,
I fucking didn't, and I just spent $350 on a new water pump.
You really?
Yeah, on the cart.
Shit.
Yeah, because I'm an idiot.
Yeah. I don't know. The last food truck I had one of those.
Oh.
Oh, we. I remember we put. We had electrical outlets where we parked it, and we put heaters inside.
Yeah. That's another move. Yep. But yeah, so this is something, you know, when we talk about costs that people might not even think about, like, what did this whole thing cost you?
Oh, man. Just the bathroom. So what happened was in the back kitchen, I get a call, and they send me a video. They're FaceTiming me. And there's leaks all from the ceiling happening. So I'm thinking it's just that, and I have my guy go out and patch it. And then a few hours later, after we get it semi-fixed, I get a call. Like, they thought they were getting shot at because they hear pop, 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 pop.
Yeah.
But it was the pipes in the bathroom just, you know, one by one started bursting.
Damn.
So the bathroom was like $8,000. And then
Jesus Christ.
The back kitchen patch-up was like another few. So, yeah.
Dude, how many poke bowls is that?
Oh, like, man.
That's some money there.
That's rough, man.
Like, It's this is why I can't do it. This is why I can't do the restaurant thing, because I cannot relax. I mean, when I own Brent Circuses,
you're
going to
do it one day, Sid.
Well, I will be there. I'll be the only, you know, I'll be one of the only employees, and I'll plan on being there all the time. I could never do the five things like you guys do, because I can't imagine just never being able to relax. I'd be tense all the time. Do you feel that way? Or just
I just opened up Neighborhood Cafe just a month.
Yeah, like you still love it. You want to keep on opening shit.
So last time I was here, you said something to me. You said, you know, are you content where you are? And, you know, I was kind of not thinking, and I said yes. And, you know, I am.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, if opportunities come, I'm definitely going to take them.
Yeah, you appreciate where you are. But
100%. Yeah. You know, the way things are going now are great. Got a great team and so forth.
Do.
Yeah, I guess I love the craziness.
Yeah.
You know, something about it.
And tell me a little bit more about Neighborhood.
Neighborhood Cafe. So we started doing pop-ups just over a year ago, and we were doing coffee and bubble tea and things like that. And, you know, the direction we were going flavor-wise was more Filipino. My family's Filipino, mm-hmm. even though I don't look it. And then we have a place with a full kitchen. So we said, you know, we're going to do a full brunch menu. And we're doing a real fun menu there. You know, it's not like traditional. It's definitely, again, just an experience, you know.
So don't come expecting like a... super authentic.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we definitely have a lot of flavors, you know, we grew up with.
Give me an example of, like, one of the...
A staple is Lagunisa, which is, traditionally like a sausage link, and it's a sweet sausage. But we do, like, patties because we do, like, a smash burger out of it.
Oh, nice.
And we do a variety of other things. We do, like, lechon, which is, like, you know, crispy pork belly, mm-hmm. and we do it as a burrito, for example.
Nice. Yeah.
And then, you know, on the drink side of things, we have a lot of cool flavors from ube lattes mm-hmm. to pandan. So a lot of... different things.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing I want to make clear, though, is, again, we're fusion. So we're trying a bunch of different flavors, because you'll come in there, you'll see matcha on the menu, you see Vietnamese iced coffee and stuff.
Would you say, I mean, like, the truck and the Sam Choi, you wouldn't call that fusion, right?
I think
that's pretty authentic.
I mean, Hawaiian food in general, I think, is a
fusion
of a lot of different things, you know.
But that's sticking more to the books.
Yeah.
What made you decide to kind of divert from the path and kind of try some crazier, weirder stuff on this menu?
You know, I have a team from kind of all over.
Yeah.
And, you know.
So it's kind of your team's idea.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it was a joint effort. You know, we wanted to lean more Filipino because, mm-hmm. you know, most of my team is. And, you know, and... the other flavors you see in there, like we do a chicken and churro dish, for example, mm-hmm. right? I have a lot of Hispanics that work for me as well. So
I'm sorry, what was that?
Chicken and churros.
Chicken and churros. Like chicken and waffles.
Yeah, chicken and wings. And
how the fuck have I never, like, I've never heard chicken and churros. That sounds so amazing. Sounds so obvious. Yeah, yeah. I gotta say, maybe a better dish than chicken and waffles for the accessibility of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's all hand, too. We do chicken wings, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then we do, like, a ube dip to kind of give, you know, that Filipino influence
there.
Such
a fat kid. Like, I don't double fist beers anymore. I just churro and chicken fist. That's amazing. And then, real quick, any more pop-ups at Stoneway?
Oh, yeah, yeah, Stonehouse. So, No problem. We have, we're just letting applications out.
Last week, when Gary was here, he has Moss Bay, and I kept on calling it like Moss Lake, like an asshole. But sorry, I'm really bad at my job.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, so we're actually in April, so we're kind of a few months ahead. We're doing Foodie Fest, and this is our fourth annual. I think it came out last year, which we appreciate. And this event's really cool. We have about 15 to 20 pop-ups and food trucks and small vendors come out and just, you know, have a good time.
What was the date?
420.
420.
Yep.
Let me see if I'm open.
do you need to write that down, sir?
Yeah. I gotta say, man. I went to the last one. I'm gonna be 100% honest. Please. Like my thing with Kutu, it's like I gotta be really smart with my moves. Because a bus for me is a big bus. Because if you look at the amount of days I can work, like I need every single day. So like I think you invited me. I go, I can't risk it because it's a little bit of a trek. And you know, I think I might have had something booked, whatever. But I was like, I gotta come support, check it out. And my God, what a community you have down there. Like, first of all, we were going to a baseball game. So I remember I was like, let's get there right at 5.
You brought your kids.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And there was a pastry place already sold out. There are multiple places starting to sell out like right at 5 o'clock. Not that that's like a great thing, but it also speaks to like what you're doing for these small businesses. Why is it so important for you to have a bunch of other small businesses in your parking lot?
I just think, you know, I'm a small business too, right? And we all started from somewhere. So yeah. I think that building platforms where people can, you know, show what they got is important, you know? There are people who helped me out the long way, so trying to do the same. I mean, not that I'm working for them. They're obviously putting the work in and everything. But also just having the community out is awesome, you know? And it's a great opportunity for people to come out and have fun. You know, and we all have fun over eating food.
Yeah.
You know? So,
what are some of the vendors you got coming out?
Well, I can talk about who was here in the past, and I'm hoping they'll return this year. My guy who does Shave Ice, Mike Shave Ice.
Oh my
out.
God, the best!
Oh, he's awesome. Yeah, Chris from Your Quiz, he does Filipino food. Gracie's Pies does her thing, which are awesome. And who else? Blue. She actually just opened a spot in Lakewood. It's called Bloom Thai, and she does like a Thai pop-up, kind of Thai fusion food. Really cool stuff.
Nice.
And a lot of other great people.
Nice. Let's definitely talk after this, because if I'm open, I'd love to do it, because I know it's a huge, huge thing. Oliver, eat anywhere recently?
I went to this place in Renton Landing. It was a Korean barbecue place. I think it's called the Exit 5 Korean barbecue.
The Exit 5? Okay.
Yeah, it's a really cool... I really enjoyed it. I know, because, you know, being in the restaurant, you don't normally have a chance to, you know, go out and eat most of the time you're working. And, you know, once in a while, we try to sort of go. And we picked this one because we live close by. We live in Renton Highlands. And it really was fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, you really appreciate it when you go there once, you know. You know, when you take a break once in 6 months.
Yeah.
But it was a really cool place. I liked the vibe of that place. And the service was great. I thought it was a really nice place.
Have you been down to Anchovies and Salt yet?
Not yet.
Yeah.
Maybe in another 6 months I'll have time.
Right. Okay, make a reservation. Max, you went there recently, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we were actually going to go to Bellevue first. We love Supreme Dumpling. I don't know if you guys have been there.
I have not.
It's very awesome. It's in Bellevue.
Check it out.
But we didn't feel like making the trek, so we live in Renton also, so we checked out Anchovies and Salt. And I got to say, I had a great time.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the atmosphere is amazing.
Looks beautiful.
The food was awesome. The service was great. You know, I think they definitely... had a little bit of a rough start. Seems like, but you know,
because of that video.
Yeah,
man,
yeah.
Fuck those people. Okay,
Does everyone know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, everyone knows about this.
Yeah.
Okay. Good news is, I think you mentioned that. You said like, oh, like I want to bring up the video. Not that I want to keep on attracting attention to this dumb dumb, but But I was like, you know what? Maybe I need a recap because, you know, well, 420. But and I went to go look at it, and I think she took it down. So I got to say this. This is what maybe feels good. Because if you looked at the comments on all the things, most people were agreeing with her. They were like, yeah, like rice shouldn't be more than $3, all these things. Like, and you know, obviously kind of hurt my feelings. And maybe we bullied her enough to her take it down. So,
well, I don't think it's bullying.
I know, I'm just fucking with you. I was going to say something really mean, and I'm happy I didn't.
That would have been bullying. Yeah. But no, she was, I don't know. People just
disappoint you.
Yes.
It just seems like certain kinds of foods, you know, kind of get judged a little harder, I feel.
Well, there's certain kinds of food that I feel like people will never, just have a hard time accepting that it needs to be, like, Seattle pricing or whatever. Like, I felt really good yesterday because we charged $8 for one taco. And we worked very fucking hard, and we made enough money for our time. And you know, some people came up and was like, oh, it's like eight, is that, like, for three tacos or whatever? I'm like, no, it's one. But, like, you know, we both worked like two long prep days, and you know, for the amount of money we made, like it was worth it. And I feel like you know, especially like anchovies and salt and like banh mi's and certain things, like it's just weird. People could never accept like, you know, a $15-$16 banh mi, which, you know, it's I don't know. Do you kind of find, because you're a little more on the higher end of things?
Yeah.
Do you get people that are like, oh, I can get chicken? I don't know. Like, for example, like, do you get people complaining about the prices, or do people walk in and understand?
Yeah, absolutely, that's part of the deal. Anyway, it doesn't matter what you know charge. One concept I have is street food, which is, you know, $10, $12, $15 thing, and one is, you know, the $30+ thing.
What do you mean?
We get complaints.
What do you mean you have two concepts?
Nirmal's is a fine dining high-end restaurant.
Yep.
Kushi, which is in Bellevue.
Okay. Oh, got it. So it's not another Nirmal's. Got it.
That's more a street food
concept. Got it.
And we get complaints from customers in
both restaurants. Wait, so your dishes are $13, $15 in Bellevue?
Yes.
And people are complaining.
Oh, yeah.
People that live in Bellevue are complaining about it.
That's reasonable. Yeah. That's like reality now, you know?
Yeah, lunch in Seattle is $20. Like, that's it.
But Taco Time's $18.
Yeah.
But there is always a feeling that, you know, it's... I think one of the best ones I had was somebody asked me why... a glass of wine, a bottle of beer, was like $6.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, you only pay $2.
Yeah.
And you're just, you know, taking the cap off.
Yep.
So you should just be selling it at $2.50.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know how I'm paying the rent then.
Yeah.
And he says, well, really, how much does that cost? And it's, I don't think a lot of people have a realistic...
No, they don't.
And there are people who actually have told me that restaurant industry is 100% margin.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's, I mean, this is literally crazy. Why we started the podcast.
Yeah.
Because of, like, you hear it enough. And like, I'm lucky to be in this place where I'm a one person business. I don't have to take shit from anyone. And I feel like a lot of businesses don't feel that way. Like, I don't think Max is going to be out here like, be like, oh, fuck Amazon or whatever, you know? But I don't know, maybe you are. But yeah. Yeah. Okay. You just lost the contract. But yeah. So, I mean, you just kind of take it, or do you, like, how does it feel? What, like,
you know, no, I mean, I've always been patient, because I guess they don't seem to get it how expensive it is. Rent, labor cost. Mm-hmm. I mean, labor cost, people don't get have an idea about how much labor costs.
Yeah.
I mean, in Nirmal's, I have about 22, 23 employees.
Yeah.
They cost money.
Yeah. Well, your job as an employer is to make sure they can pay rent and they
absolutely
can live.
And,
so, you know, you can't do that by not pay, you know, by underpaying them.
But 8 years ago, I was one of the first restaurants to do the $15 in healthcare.
Yeah.
This was in 2015 when everybody else was fighting. I said, no, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
We're going to take care of our employees. And during COVID, I did not lay off anybody.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Right?
Yeah.
Took care of everyone. But all that costs money.
Yeah.
Especially when the revenue was down that sharp.
Yeah.
It was really hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, now it's only now we are recovering. And like we talked about, January was a rough month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
January was rough. And it kind of depresses. But also, you know, for example, the war in Ukraine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I used to pay $9.95 for a bag of whole wheat flour.
Mm-hmm.
I suddenly ended up paying $19.95 for that same bag.
Yeah, doubled.
Now, that I make naan with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
which is...
it's a $4 naan. I can't charge them $8. I'm still charging $4.
Yeah. Why can't you charge $8?
Oh, because at $4, people think, shouldn't I be getting it for free?
But why are their feelings more important than you being able to pay your rent?
Well, I still want people to come back. And, you know, you can't get... At the end of the day, however much it hurts, the customer is right in that sense that without customers, you don't have a business. And, you know, yes, sometimes it's tough. But I have an 85% return of customers.
Mm-hmm.
85% of my customers come back. And, you know, it's a very good... The reason is we're kind of fairly gentle.
Right.
You know, when these kinds of discussions come, I will sit down and I'll talk to them about, you know, what we face. And most people, once they hear the story, they're like, oh, okay, fair enough. We get it.
Well, tell you what, we'll get you a little menu with a QR code that has a link to this podcast, and you can and you can fast forward to this part where you say, fuck that, the customer is not always right. I think, you know, when I posted that thing, I posted the little eater thing where I talked about
what he just said reminded me of that. When you said fear of raising prices, that's exactly it.
And it's crazy, like, the people that disagreed with me, because they're like, all I hear is, like, you're saying, no, you should take the abuse from people that can clearly afford it, you know?
These are, in my, the way I think about this, is these are the people who are standing in Safeway looking at a 10-pound bag of fucking rice going, all right, well, 10 pounds of rice costs $7.
Yeah.
Why am I paying $7 for a 4-ounce bowl of it?
Yeah. Yes.
Not understand how much the bowl costs.
Right, they have no clue what happens.
I mean,
you just add water, right?
And water's fucking free, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand.
I mean, the reality is, you know, like, if you're a good business operator, you're ethical and so forth, you're not going to price things to gouge people's eyes, right?
Yeah.
You're pricing things to, like, you know, you said, to pay your staff, pay your rent, and, you know, hopefully make a little bit so that you can take it home. Otherwise, kind of, why are we doing this? I mean, I love my customers, you know, and I love the people I work with. But the reality is, you know, I got bills too, so you know, I definitely need to.
People definitely don't understand, like, you know, you want to price things to when people leave, they feel like they had a good time, they don't feel like they got robbed or anything. But I mean, our profit margin is so small to begin with, and when you have something like your pipes bursting, you're instantly in the hole
by Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, and people just don't get that.
Yeah. I think I said this before. I'd love to have, like, if I ever did a restaurant, which I never will, I just want to have, like, a moving, like, ticker chart of, like, what my bills are. Like, the Charlie's Produce bill came in. Add it to the ticket.
What if, you know how we have to take, like, a food handling test and stuff through the county?
Oh, my God.
How about the customers take a fucking understand the restaurant business test and understand what's going on behind the scenes and all the hard work and tears and fucking blood and sweat that goes into it?
You are extra spicy. You're like India after they got chilies.
January did it to me. Sorry.
But I think, you know, but social media has given, you know, it's changed the game now.
Given dumbasses a voice.
Yes. I'm sorry to say. I'll tell you a very classic example that happened in my restaurant. I had a veteran. He had a certain disability. He had a tremor in his hand. And he was serving a table, and he managed to slop a little curry. They didn't even wait to leave the restaurant before they gave us a 1-star.
Oh, my God.
Wait, no. But that's a restaurateur's dream. Like, I want your view that shit in front of me, right? Not leave and go home and do it.
Yeah, because, and I mean, at that point, I wasn't accepting the customer is always right. And I actually talked to them about it.
Yeah.
And,
like,
I said,
through Yelp or at the restaurant?
As they were leaving, and they told me that.
Wait, how did you know it was them? Because, like, it popped up, and you're like, oh, that's that
No, they told me. Oh. As they were leaving, I could see from their face they were very annoyed, and they said, that's not the kind of service we expect in this restaurant.
And they go, we left a 1-year.
Yeah. Yeah.
They told you that.
A human?
That is the most, like, ask for a man. That's more Karen than asking for a manager. It's like walking away saying, we left you a 1-star Yelp review.
We expect better service here, and you should have come to my table and apologized. I said, I didn't even know this happened.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I said, do you understand that that is somebody who served our country, who has, you know,
a disability,
and he didn't mean to slop that thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we would have been happy to, you know, fix whatever problem you had. But you do understand that is a human being there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's just doing his job. That's all there is. I said, and I, you know, it's not something that I say all, you know, often, but I said, I would be glad if you never come back.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Fuck those people.
I just said that. That was one of the few times I had to say it because I just thought, you know, if you're going to be such a jerk, I don't really want to feed you.
And listen, you can only one-star review a restaurant so many times. Fuck them. That's good for you. Congratulations. The customer's right.
That's important because it shows your employees and the rest of your customer base that you're going to keep this dining room positive experience for everybody. And if somebody has a problem with that, then get the fuck out.
Yeah, but that is the thing that people will actually threaten you.
With what?
Oh, I'm aware.
That I'm going to write a stinker review. And they do that. I mean, I'm sure you've experienced that.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's something like, they'll walk in without, you know, Nirmal's is a reservation-only place. You have to have a reservation to come in. They'll come without a reservation, and then they'll say, how long before I get a table?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's been 20 minutes. Hey, but you didn't have a reservation. I'm trying to figure it out. I had this great guy who came to the restaurant who came in with two beautiful young ladies who came in and wanted a table. I didn't have one.
Yeah.
But I managed to squeeze him in into a community table.
Yeah.
And I said, look, an hour and a half is all I can give you. But, you know, relax, have fun. Well, about 10 minutes later, he calls me and he says, hey, I want that table. I said, I'm sorry, sir. You don't have a reservation. That table is already taken. He says, look, bud, I'm not asking you. I'm telling you.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Who the fuck is this guy? Yeah.
And I said, well, in that case, you have 30 seconds to leave the restaurant. And
nice.
He said, what do you mean? You'll never succeed if you act like that to your customer. I said, it's okay. Don't worry about me.
Yeah, we'll be okay.
But this is the kicker. As they were leaving, the two young ladies stopped and apologized.
Nice.
And said, we are sorry. He's been a jerk all day. I said, yes.
Well, that's probably why he has to pay for sex.
Oh, my gosh.
And whenever we do these business sessions, I do want to end with 99.7% of customers in Seattle are fantastic.
Oh,
and
totally.
And
without them, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah, and exactly. And just unfortunately, like, I'm just one of those dudes when I get a large fries from McDonald's and I drop one under my chair, I'm like, God damn it, I missed that
guy's
fry
going down.
So, like, you know, sometimes just that one customer get under your skin and you just have to vent it out, and that's why we have the podcast. But we fucking love you. Please keep in spending money at our restaurant.
Something about one-star Yelp reviews, though. I feel like the constructive criticism stops around 3 stars.
Yeah. Oh,
you
sure.
You know, and then once you get below 3 stars, it's just a bunch of really sad, like, people who were broken before they entered your dining room.
Yeah. But also what happens is, like, on an on a busy Friday night, we would get about 150, 160 customers. Most of them have had a great time. They totally enjoyed. And in their mind, all they want to do is come back.
Yeah.
But there'll be this one person who was unhappy, and that's the person. And what happens is, after 8 years, it still kind of gets under my skin.
I know, right?
That one person is the only one who writes that review. And you go home and you look at it and you feel like my entire day's work is reduced to this 1 star.
And it bothers you, and you're like, why am I dwelling on this one prick? When I had all these other,
like,
people.
Exactly. I mean,
it's the restaurateur's, like, curse.
Yes.
You know? I mean, you try not to, but it's just like, you work so hard. Yeah, you know?
Totally,
it's just like, you know, the team works so hard. So
And then you just got to do what Vindictive Wings does and put that 1-star Yelp review on a fucking shirt. I got one. I don't look at Yelp. I don't give a shit. But I saw one. It was a 1-star. I think I'm going to print it out and put in a frame.
I was wondering if you read my review.
I'm sorry, I couldn't seat you at that table. Hey, Dave, where'd you eat this last week?
Well, I ate at Aqua Verde with you.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
And
Gary from Beer Hall and Luis.
I got the machete. It was delicious.
You have never been there before?
No.
Yeah,
no, that was my first time. Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about it, and it lived up to its wonderful reputation.
Yeah,
and delicious. It's and such a beautiful spot.
That, I mean, it's the view is fantastic.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't want to say you're paying for the view because you're paying for the food, and it's delicious. And the service was great.
Yeah.
Doesn't hurt that Luis's wife works.
I know. I was gonna say, probably got a little special treatment there.
No, we didn't, because they had a table for they had a table outside. That was for 5 or more, and I try to snag it, and they're like, nope, like, you're only 4. So we did not get special treatment. And I'm still bitter about it, and that's why I wrote that one-star Yelp review. Sorry, Agua Verde. I had a really great dinner at the Garrison, where Hotel Albatross used to be on in Ballard, and they're now like a upscale seafood place. If you went to Hotel Albatross, it used to be like a poke place in the front.
Poke Square or something like
that. Yeah, yeah, and then it was like Hawaiian or tropical cocktails in the back. Right now it's just the front part. It's like 7 or 8 tables, but they are going to redo the back, and it's going to be a big place. Food was fantastic. I went with Ono and my buddy Dan, and we got some oysters. I'm one of those people, like, I think Dan ordered the carrots, and I was like, God damn it, don't order carrots. That's like you know, it's like the rice thing where I'm like, it better be really fucking good.
Like brandy, ginger, braised carrot or something.
I don't remember what it was off the top of my head, but like, it was fucking worth it. Like, you know, and
sometimes carrots can be fucking epic.
If Damon makes them, yeah. Like, Damon makes some of the best carrots when he had the Ark ones. But yeah, really, really great menu, wonderful people. And they're doing something cool where, I don't know if you've ever been to, have you been to Albatross? No. They had a puffy taco window out front. And I'm not sure what the menu is now, but they still have a window in the front that when you walk by on Market, like, you can just grab tacos to go. I believe it's tacos. But the cool thing is that the server was telling me the cooks run that, and they keep all the money from that, oh, wow. But they do the restaurant part. And so I thought that was really fucking cool.
Do you know what an albatross is, Sid?
I do not.
It's a bird.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Sometimes an albatross can fly over 1 million miles in its life.
Do you know what a hotel is?
Wow.
thanks, dude. Where else did you? Former guest Noah, the comedian. I went to the Shroom Room comedy show this last week at the Shanghai.
Yeah, where all the comedians take shrooms and do their skits. How was that?
It was fantastic. I had a really good time. The vibe was
how could
good.
It not be?
It was fun, and you know, it was a mix of people like kind of freaking out. Some people having a really great time.
I was gonna say, I kind of want to like put on a scary Halloween mask and just sit in the crowd.
That's a fucking terrible thing. Why? Like, what is wrong with your soul where you want to hurt someone that bad?
Sorry, where is that located?
The Shanghai Room's in Greenwood, right next to the North Star Diner. We had a great meal there. Had like burgers, fried Brussels, and some other fun stuff. Delicious. And,
I have a question.
Yes.
On the way here today, I noticed I've been kind of checking it out as I drive by. It's on Aurora and 80th, and it's a restaurant called Surprise.
Wait,
a great name.
80th and Aurora.
Yeah. Has anybody ever eaten at the Surprise restaurant?
Okay. I'm going to write this down.
Yeah. I think we need to go in.
No matter what, I'm going there.
I'm like, that's such a crazy name for a restaurant. I want to know everything about it.
Maybe it's some dude that won the lottery and just opened up this restaurant where you walk in, they just like throw pie at you.
Who knows? Well, surprise. You know, surprise is a very positive word in a lot of ways. And, you know, then you have our snarky asses and you're kind of like,
Let's see. Oh, gotta check out the new Deep Sea Sugar in Georgetown. You ever been to Deep Sea Sugar, cake shop?
Yeah.
So they moved to the new place. It was cool because, you know, I've known them for a while. Had some friends
talking about
there.
Charlie.
Yeah. Charlie came by the cart the other day. But you know, how would you describe their cakes?
Moist, delicious. Like it's. It's,
have you had?
I've eaten a lot of cake, and it's some of the best cake I've ever had. They used to serve it at Star Brass back in the day.
Oh,
they did an Earl Grey. Well, they would mix it up, but I would go have my double tavern cheeseburger
and an Earl Grey cake,
and then I would finish it with
what
with
a meal that is.
I know, right?
That is fucking what do you call it?
When special?
Surprise! Last meal shit. If you're on death row. Death row meal. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
My death row meal would probably be a double tavern burger and a Earl Grey cake. But yeah, it was really cool. Much busier. Like I saw a guy in the back cutting cake, and he looked like a line cook. Like he was sweating. Just like they were so busy. So and it was like a random like Friday. Like so great for them. Really, really happy. I don't know if I told you. Through Ariana, I got to be a hand model for Deep Sea. They were doing like a photo shoot with a bunch of cakes, and me, Ariana, got to be hand models. And I thought, and then we got to eat a bunch of free cake. It was truly the best day of my life.
Were your palms involved?
Jesus Christ, we're not doing this again. let's see. Oh, hey, looks like our next pop-up is gonna be on April 7th. More info about that soon. What time? Oh, we gotta get out of here. I gotta get to the casino. I'm going to a
an employee.
No, I'm going to my buddy Eddie. He works at a bar in Capitol Hill. I hope I don't screw this up. I think it's called Corvus.
Oh, you're talking about Eddie?
Eddie.
Hi, Eddie.
And so he knows I like casinos and to party, and they're doing their employee party there. So it's over in I gotta take the ferry over at Kingston. I forgot the name of it.
It's like a lunchtime employee party.
It's an overnight employee Ooh. Party. So we're gonna party on a Monday with a bunch of people I've never met, and I will report back next week if you know if I'm still alive, and I'll let you know it is. Real quick before we get out of here. Oliver, what would you like to plug? You have four restaurants in the works.
Well, the historic dining that we are doing on the 18th of March. Yep. I really, you know.
How much are tickets?
Yeah.
$100.
What the fuck are you? How can you go to a fine dining restaurant for $100? How many plates is it?
It's going to be 8 dishes.
Oh, that's a great value.
Yeah.
God.
Oliver, we're going to have a long talk after this.
I was going to say.
Because 8 dishes for $100. You're making us look very bad. That's insane. And how many seats is it? How many seats?
We only want to do 50 at a time, so we are going to do 2 seatings.
Got it. So 100.
Just
so
because I want the customers to be able to talk to the chef individually.
So interactive.
I don't want to read.
And when are tickets on sale right now?
Yeah.
So right now,
100
seats available, $100 for 8 courses.
Just go to your website?
Your link on Toast. They can go on Yelp. Yeah. And,
okay. And wow, what a deal! And then tell me about the other spots. You got the Bellevue spot. What's that called again?
It's called Cushy.
And what, like, give me an example.
It's
of
a street food. So it used to be where the old California Pizza Kitchen used to be.
Oh, so it's a big spot.
Oh, yeah,
it's
a great spot.
Yeah, it's a big space. And then we are opening 2 more in Columbia Tower.
What a time to be alive, California Pizza Kitchen. That, I don't think I've thought about that place
in
fucking 15 years. And it just, as soon as you said it, I just had a flood of memories. Like, I had no idea. There was one in Bellevue. That's right. Yeah. That's holy shit. I don't think I ever went there. Cause
that's when this is what all those food bloggers were born on, is the fucking like avocado on pizza. And they're like, what the fuck?
I was literally like, what kind of person wakes up, hey, where do you want to go to lunch today? California Pizza.
Dude, CPK. No.
What an asshole.
Make a reservation for Valentine's Day.
Easy. So actually, here's a question for everyone in the room. Every year for Valentine's Day, for the last couple of years, me and the family, we like to dress up very nice, sometimes kind of cheesy, but very nice, and we go out to a place like Red Lobster or Teppanyaki. So what's a good place for this year? It's a Wednesday this year, so I like to do something kind of funny, like a... you know, like a Olive Garden or something like that.
Sizzler Sunday bar.
Do they have Sizzlers? And it's
shit. I don't know. I haven't checked in like 20 years.
Well, guys, if you have an idea where I should go this year, like somewhere it's ironic to dress up really nice.
You can get the was it the all you can or the unlimited bread from Olive Garden.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm sure you can find a place in South Center.
Dave, we were talking about a Valentine's Day thing, maybe? What do you got going on?
Yeah, I got people reaching out wondering what I'm doing for Valentine's Day, and I'm literally being like, I haven't figured it out yet. So I'm gonna figure that out, and I'll let everybody know. And just a shout out to the food bloggers that are doing it right. Like we love you, but there's a new wave that is pretentious and negative, I feel. So.
I have to disagree with you, Dave, but it's not a new wave. There's always been assholes and nice people.
Well, I'm noticing a new wave hitting my little algorithm, and I'm kind of like, you know, like, no, literally just getting started, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's easy to be mean, and it sometimes gets views, you know? I don't know.
Is that what gets it, the mean?
Why do you think we have so many listeners to this podcast?
Because you're so mean.
Yeah. all right, this might take 45 minutes, but Max, tell me everything you got going on.
Neighborhood Cafe, we just opened December 9th, and, you know, we're located in South Center, so don't play your hand on South Center.
Oh, snap.
South Center Parkway, we're not in the mall.
My first job when I moved to Seattle in 2001 was at Stanford's.
Got you.
That's why I do the little.
No, I got it. There's a lot of chain places out there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Neighborhood Cafe, we're open 7 days a week. We open 6 to 5. It's a counter cafe, mm-hmm. so you order at the counter and, you know, kind of find your seat.
You expect me to tip? No,
yeah, I mean, you know, tipping is optional. And let me also note that we don't take cash at the moment, just because we've had various break-ins
and people get
like
pissed
that.
About that.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people upset about that. But it's security of our team.
Well,
you know?
it's this thing when you hear people argue. First of all, like what over $20 or $30? Like I understand. I don't know. It's so weird when people argue about cash.
I mean, honestly, I don't want to do that way because, you know, we have to pay credit card fees and so forth. But
it's a safety thing. It's a safety your employees are way more valuable than the boomer that's like, oh, you don't take American money.
When I opened Buckshot, I did a quick post like, hey, everybody, what do you think about doing credit card only?
Yeah.
And I had to take the post down.
This is like the hottest item. Yeah. Like, what are people's arguments? Like, either way.
Classes. A lot of people don't have enough money to have a bank account.
Got it.
And it's definitely not that for us. I mean, again, you know, my team is very important.
Totally. Well, I had just gotten out of the, you know, you got food trucks. You ever done the courthouse downtown?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's fucking crazy, dude. And so,
Most jars stolen off of there.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, we were doing just, like, no cash at all because of situations like that. And so, I was just testing the water, and it got bad.
I rarely take cash on the truck purely because I'm touching food, and it's just easier.
Yeah, and it's only you, so it's, like, probably $100 in gloves a day.
Yeah, but... you know, it's one of those things where, God, I don't want to get in trouble for this because that sounds like it's a hot item, but I feel like when I hear, I'll take it. If someone's like really gung-ho about it, I don't mind changing my gloves, washing my hands, and going back to work. It's not a big deal.
You put a sweatband on your head and have them stuff the cash in there.
Just dollars, though. You know, I might get in trouble for this. I feel like, okay, when I did the food truck during quarantine, and Max, maybe you had to deal with this. Remember the quarantine? Do you remember that thing?
Yeah, I do.
There's a thing where people had to wear masks. And for some reason, we were so angry with each other, we had to get in arguments about masks. I remember like people walk up to the truck without a mask, and just the rules back then. Like you're supposed, and like the art, it's just like, but they were ready to argue. Mm-hmm. Like it didn't matter about what it was about. They were just like, they want to go, oh my God, masks. And I feel like that's how the cash people are sometimes. Because the way they asked me, like, what, do you not take cash? I'm like, yeah, I take cash. Just chill out. So I feel like some people are just ready to argue. But yeah, I don't know.
I always tell people I'll take squirrel pelts and saffron if you got it.
Let's see. What do I want to push? All right. Probably this week, Jim Langer, the video guy that did the video for the Run the Jewels event a couple weeks ago, I saw the cut, and it is fucking amazing. I get goosebumps thinking about it, so I'm going to be releasing that this week. Congratulations.
Is it kind of like a little short film?
It's about a minute 30, I think. Cool. But he just, there was so much going on between pinatas, five courses, you know, all these things, the DJ, and he did such a great job of capturing everything, and it's going to make people see it and go, fuck, I need to get to the next thing. And it was really, it was so fast that, like, and the ticket count kept on going up because we said, like, 180, and then, like, we needed more people. So it got to 250 pretty quick. And seeing video, I didn't even go outside during the line too much, but to see 250 people in line for a dining event is fucking pretty cool.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I'm pretty stoked. And congratulations to Killer Mike. 3 Grammys yesterday. 3 fucking Grammys.
Awesome. Then he got arrested.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it, so I'm not going to...
It was a misdemeanor.
I
think it was something with a security guard.
Because of my insecurity, I'm very... I always make jokes about everything, and I don't want to make a joke and then have it be something serious and then me and get in trouble.
I think it's just stupid publicity on something that was probably...
All right, before we get out of here, I just want to talk about community. What day was this? It was like Friday or Saturday. I was sitting at home. So, okay, between Ariana and me, we have 3 kids, and with our schedules and work, it happens like once every 3 weeks, and you restaurant owners know how this is. Like, once every 3 weeks, we can like go out. Like, you know, like no work the next morning, no kids, like we can do whatever we want. And often I don't know these days are coming up because, like, you know, just things shake out, whatever. And like,
surprise.
Yeah. Surprise. Yeah. So I went to Surprise on 80th and Aurora. And so I just sitting at home and I was like, okay, hey, guys, made a post. Like, hey, what's going on tonight? Like, I need to get the fuck out. Like, it's been months since I've done anything fun. Not fun. I do fun shit all the time, but like really hit it hard. And like, there's a show in Tacoma Dome, was sold out. There's a show at Showbox, sold, like an EDM show, sold out. And I was just sitting there at home. And I was getting all bummed. I'm like, man, there's nothing to fucking do. And then, because I'm, you know, like, just a little crybaby. But like, and then I get a message from my buddy that works at Showbox. Like, hey, I got you guest list for the show at Showbox. So I go to Showbox. Like, we have a good time. And like, I just remember, like, I see, you know, I know I used to work there, so I know the bartenders. We have a good time there. Then we go to Bila Bar in Fremont afterwards, you know, and see Carlo, guest next week, and just have a good time. What else do we do? And like, I don't know. I went from like 0-60 on like, I just want to say, especially because of the taco party yesterday, how appreciative I am to have community. like to have people like Noah Larson and Jamie the Pastry Boy, and like all these people that have kind of come in and out of our lives in the podcast. It's so it's such a great feeling to walk out into the world and like kind of be part of this community. You know, Seattle is a tough place to make friends. I've been here for 15 something years, and when I worked the cart, I talked to people all the time. They're like, hey, I moved here 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Like, and I'm like, and I'm always like, hey, what do you like to do? Like, let me, you know, and the first thing they say is like, yeah, it's really fucking hard to meet people here. And yeah. you know, I feel like the Seattle freeze melted after quarantine, but like, you know, I feel like it's easier to talk to people, but I just want to bring that up. We've been bitching a lot today about customers and shit, but I am unbelievably grateful for community stuff like Max, what you're doing, at the cafe, on 420. Yeah. 420. It's so awesome. You know, my buddy Brady from LA, he does a pop-up and he's constantly bitching about how LA doesn't do stuff like this. I don't want to speak for him, but you know, he doesn't feel that like people help people as much as we do here. And I'm not saying everyone helps everyone. Like Dave, like we said, like some people are assholes, some people are nice. And I'm just happy to have the nice people on this podcast today. And my co-host being a nice guy. All right, guys, we're gonna get out of here. I'll report back next week about the casino. But as we'll say, Oliver, Max, thanks so much for coming on. We'll see you next time on
Seattle Restaurant Food.
Duh. Seattle Restaurant Podcast. Hey, if you're still going for a dry January, keep on going.
All right, we love you guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Thanks. Thank you. It was fun.